download it and share it with
Thank you. Okay. I got to stick this behind me. My name is Mimi. I am an abstinent compulsive overeater. And I'm pretty nervous, in case you couldn't tell. So I'm hoping this is going to pass. And if it's not, you'll just have to put up with me. I'm sorry. I really want to thank the retreat committee. Each one of them has been so patient with me, and I've needed lots of patience. So I really thank the retreat committee, and I'm very honored to be here, to be leading this retreat. And in fact, I'm still kind of in shock that I'm really doing this. And along about 5 o'clock tonight, it hit me, I really am doing this. And then when I was sitting there, I was going, I really am doing it. So now I'm standing up here. God, I'm really doing it. Okay. I guess I found out about 3 months ago that I was going to be doing this. And it's just, if you want something to ratchet up your program a little bit, lead a retreat. Because it's been wonderful these 3 months to, you know, do my meditation and kind of ask, what am I supposed to talk about? I've done it when I've gone for my walk. I have this new thing. I go for a walk every other day. For a couple of years, I couldn't walk at all. So it's kind of a miracle. So, and I say, God, well, what am I supposed to say? And then I'll think about all these things. And I'll kind of think about it in my head. So when I talk, if it sounds like I'm walking, it'll kind of go along with that. So what I would like to do is share just really briefly in the beginning. Then we're going to do some other stuff. And then I'm going to really share. You get the whole long story before we end tonight. It's kind of going to be an experiential retreat, so there are things that you get to do. So you don't have to just sit there and listen to me. You get pretty bored, and so would I. So we're going to mix it up a little bit. The title of the retreat is Worth Recovery. So that could be a whole bunch of different things. What it meant to me when I first picked it, for a very long time, I really had doubts about whether I was worth recovery. I didn't know that's what I was doubting, but that's what I was doubting. Was I really worth it to have this kind of life? Was I really worth it? And the answer is yes. And through many different layers, the answer is yes. So my hope for this retreat is that if there's anybody there wondering if they're worth full recovery, not half recovery, not half relapse, half recovery, but full recovery, my hope is that you'll discover that, yes, indeed, you are. I am not a poster child for OA, so let me just tell you briefly, for those who don't know me, I've been in the program almost 33 years. I was abstinent. Well, it took me 6 months to get abstinent. And I'm going to talk a lot more about all this. But I was abstinent for about 17 years. I lost 100 pounds, had a whole new life for 17 years. People used to tease me because at first I said 16 years. And they're going, what is it, 16 or 17? And what happened was, after 17 years, I went into relapse. I was in relapse for 10 years. And tomorrow we're going to talk about relapse at the 1 o'clock session. So I think I have something to share there. 10 years is a long time to be in relapse. I kept going to meetings, and I found recovery again a little over 6 years ago. Thank you, God. Since then, I would like to say I've had a squeaky clean abstinence. I did lose the 100 pounds again. Thank you, God. I do 100 pound swinging. You know, I'm a 100 pound swinger. But about 4 months ago, I was doing, well, I won't connect it to that. I was doing some stuff. And I had some physical problems. The weight wasn't staying stable. And I was really frustrated because I couldn't eat the way I used to be able to eat without gaining weight. And I really didn't, I love it seeing people do that. And I really didn't want to give up any of the food, you know. So I was putting on a little bit of weight. And then I got so angry that I could not lose weight. What do you think I did for 2 weeks? Yeah. So I broke my abstinence for 2 weeks, and I really ate everything that was not nailed down. And thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. That was all I did. That's the first time in my life I have not gained 100 pounds. I have been abstinent since then. And why? I did what we say. I got a sponsor. I'd been in the program so long, who needed a sponsor? Anybody else? So I got a sponsor. She reminded me a lot of my first sponsor, but I'll talk about that later. And I started working the steps, reading the big book in a different way. And thank you, God, I've been abstinent ever since then. And I even have lost 10 pounds. You might not know, but I have lost 10 pounds. So I have about 5 more pounds to go, which is just miraculous. So one day at a time, I'm abstinent. Now, I admitted to the retreat committee that I had blown it. And I said, I'm stepping down. I won't lead the retreat. And the idea was, well, the retreat committee would decide whether I could lead it or not. But I didn't want to have 6 people tell me you can't lead it. So I said, no, I just step down. But they were very gracious and invited me to lead it. So that's why I'm here. So when I tell you I'm not a poster child for OA, you'll probably believe me. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm just so glad I'm here. Let me go over the agenda with you a little bit. Does everybody have a schedule? It's on the back of your little card. I don't know if you have a long one, too. Tonight, what we're going to do, it's called Letting Go. I'm thinking maybe we need to let go of what we've walked in with so we can really enjoy the retreat. So we're going to do a writing exercise, and then if you will permit me, we're going to do a breathing exercise and just kind of segue into letting the retreat begin and being here. And then we'll probably take a break depending on what time it is. And then I'm going to give you the long version of my story, okay? Tomorrow, we have from 9 to 11:45 into action. And what we're going to talk about then will be pages 85 to 88 in the big book, which saved my life. So we're going to be going over that. So if you'll bring your big book tomorrow morning, we'll go over those pages. Then we're going to talk about conscious contact and all the different forms of that kind of thing. Then the plan is we're going to break into small groups. We'll have a topic along with conscious contact to talk about. And then we'll come back and we'll share about that. So that'll be the morning session. The afternoon session is going to be about slipping and sliding and relapse. And before we get to the afternoon session, I'm going to ask each person to find a partner only for the afternoon session, for the relapse session. And I'm going to request that you pick somebody you don't know. There are a lot of people here who don't know anybody, and it just be, and it also works better for sharing some kinds of things if it's not somebody you see at your meeting every day. So I'm going to ask you to pick a partner for that, and I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, which is an odd request that I won't explain right now, but I'm going to ask you to pick a rock to bring to the afternoon session, not the morning. There are all kinds of rocks out here. A rock, an R-O-C-K rock, a stone, a whatever. You know, not a big boulder, but just a little one. And if you don't manage to do that, the retreat committee gathered a bunch of stones. So we have stones on loan or something. So I'm going to talk a little bit about my relapse, and then we're going to do a partner exercise where we will leave this room, if it's not raining, and we'll go out and be able to sit in the sun and work with your partner on something. And then we'll come back and we'll close round three. And then tomorrow night, if you make it through the afternoon, tomorrow night, guess what we're going to talk about?
Sex.
So that's part, one of the advantages of being a retreat leader. Last year, three of us drove home together from the retreat, and we started talking about sex. What else? And, you know, sexuality, it seems to me it's such part of my makeup disease in some ways. Oops. So I thought, you know, it'd be good we talk about sexuality. What's going to happen is I'm going to, if God helps me, I'm going to share a little bit, as much as I can. And then the floor is going to be entirely yours. I'm not going to have any exercises, it's going to be up to you. If you want to break into small groups and discuss the topic, that's great. If we want to do it en masse, that's good too. So we'll decide that tomorrow night. And then Sunday morning, our close is going to be a beautiful thing I did not write, but that was written by Northern Virginia Intergroup. And it contains the promises of each of the steps as they are written in the OA 12 by 12. And you will be amazed at what those are. So it will be, the real step stuff is going to come on Sunday morning. I mean, we're going to have step stuff throughout, but the real focus on the steps will be Sunday morning. And there will be ample opportunity to share. So that's what we'll be doing. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're going, yeah. Need more of that. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so before I get into more of my story, I'm sure I was supposed to say other stuff, but I'm not looking at my script, so it's gone. I do want to say one thing. I came from your average, horribly dysfunctional family that a lot of us come from, and when I was growing up, I had a poor, misguided stepfather who wasn't very mature emotionally, and when we all sat around the table at dinner, from the time I was 8, I was not allowed to speak. And when I did speak, I was denigrated for anything I said. So it was like a lot of emotional abuse. Now, before you feel too sorry for me, what that did was I was a live, inquiring kid. And what that did was make me into a writer. So today I'm a writer. And the amazing thing to me is that I'm getting to do this retreat, which means you have to listen to me speak for 3 days. But how did God do that? I've led some other retreats. I led a retreat in Oregon last year. And at my beginning years in OA, I was in Silicon Valley those first 17 years. And The intergroup invited me to lead a retreat on the fourth step. If you can imagine 3 days on the fourth step, that was my claim to fame. It was really kind of interesting. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking for a little while. I'm going to ask you if you would please bring out your paper and your pen. So, this will be the first stage in the letting go process tonight. And thank you for humoring me with this. You know, one of the things we say in program is it's not about what you're eating, it's about what's eating you. So, I imagine that some of us came in with lots of stuff eating us. No, maybe not. But, you know, lots of stress, lots of pressure. Here's a chance to enjoy all of this and just relax. And what I'm going to ask you to do on this piece of paper is do a bulleted list of all the things that are bugging you. Don't explain them. Nobody's going to read them. You know, just you. Just do a bulleted list. Quick little sentences. I'll give you a few minutes. Everything that's just bothering the heck out of you. Every single thing. Will take a few minutes. And just right away, don't edit yourself. If you hear yourself, I did this with a group. And the woman said, well, there are things I don't want to say. And I said, oh, well, don't edit yourself. Nobody's going to read it. Just say it. So, About ready? Everybody about ready to move forward? Okay. Okay, now look back at your list and look at each bullet, and I want you to make a decision about each bullet. You're going to see where this is going, I think. Next to each bullet, put a C if that's something you can change. And put a C if you can change that bullet thing. And put an A if you cannot. Put an A against. You can't change it. Put a C if you can. C can change. A cannot.
A for accept?
Mm-hmm. G? At some point, is it changeable? Everybody finished? Everybody finished? Okay, so now you see the point. The C is for the things we can change. The A is for the things we cannot, that we have to accept. So can we all say the Serenity Prayer again together? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Now, I'd like to do a little breathing kind of thing. Is that okay with everybody? Okay. So if you will, put down anything you've got on the floor. And I haven't done this in a while, but we'll do this. If you will, please put your both feet flat on the floor. And kind of get comfortable in your chair. Let your hands hang loose. Don't grab your hands. Let your hands rest comfortably. And I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath that, if you're like me, when I take a breath, I never let it inflate my stomach because my stomach's too big, right? But this time, nobody's going to notice. So when you take a deep breath, let your stomach pooch out. And then let go of your breath slowly. Of course, breath is another word for spirit. Kind of interesting. So we're going to be doing this a little for a while. And let's take another deep breath. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Lean back against the chair. Let everything filter from your mind. Take another deep breath. And as you let go of everything that's bothering you. Everything you walked in with. Just let it go. Just like a cloud in the sky. More deep breaths. Continue to breathe deeply. Feel that breath go throughout your stomach. Feel it down through your legs, down into your feet. And let it go. Breathe out every impediment that you have. In your mind, you might pick a place that you would like to be, that you love, or maybe that you haven't seen. A place that's special for you, where you feel safe and loved, protected. You can envision that in your mind. And just let yourself go there. And keep breathing. Let go of your body. Let go of your head and your jaw and your shoulders and your arms, your hands, your thighs, your feet. And just feel that, how that breath feels in your body. And just be there for a while. And keep breathing. And be glad to just be. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to please anybody. You don't have to be different than you are. And when you're ready, you can gradually start to come back. Very slowly. Start to come back up into the present. Into this room. And gradually open your eyes. Okay, how was that?
Good.
Yeah, okay. It's amazing. When I started doing yoga and I found out I really had a body and that my breath was in my body, it was like amazing to me. So what I'd like to do now that everybody's here, is if you would please think of two or three sentences, if you feel like it, about what you hope to receive from this retreat. And I thought I'd go out through the audience, and if you're willing to share a couple of sentences about why you're here or what you hope to receive here, you can just stand up. I'll give you the microphone. You can give us two or three sentences. Okay? So somebody who'd like to share? Okay. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Jessica, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic from Sacramento.
Hi, Jessica.
I'm pretty new to the program, so a couple sentences. I'm here to learn from people's experience that have either found recovery or have been in the program for a long time.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. Somebody else.
Karen. I'm from Sacramento. I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Karen.
And I'm looking to reconnect with myself. It's so easy to get caught up in what's going on around me and through me and with me. And so I'm really looking just to kind of revitalize and reconnect with myself and with nature.
Thank you, Karen. Somebody else? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Miller. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Miller.
And I hope to be serene and address perfectionism in my life and address relationships like the one with my boss and the one with a significant other in my life. Yeah.
Thank you, Miller. Somebody else?
Mm-hmm. I'm Sherry, a recovering compulsive overeater from Sparks, Nevada.
Hi, Sherry.
I'm here for OA Fellowship. I want to be with some of my OA peeps. And I just want to spend time with my higher power.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks, Sherry. Yep. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Jan. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jan.
I'm from Sacramento. And I mainly am I'm in a new place in my recovery for the first time, and I'm having some fear, quite a bit of fear in this new abstinent phase, and I'm really looking forward to flipping it to faith and courage this weekend through you, with you, with the beautiful world out there, and with Mimi.
Oh. Thank you, Jan. Okay. Oh, sure. Next.
Thank you. I'm Jill. I'm compulsive eater from Sacramento. I'm going to start my year over again this year. I had a devastating accident, so I need to have a new year. And I'm going to write down 50 diamonds this weekend, and the diamonds are 50 gifts that I've received in recovery.
Thanks, Jill. Judy.
I'm Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater, and
can you stay?
I don't know where I'm from. I'm from Sacramento, but I've been in Phoenix the last 2 years to take care of my father. I'm so sad most of the time. And I would just like to feel your joy in my body again. Because it's so, I can't remember what that's like. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks, Judy. Somebody else? Okay. Yeah. Well, I know you don't really need it, but
I'll be gentler with this. No, thank you for being here.
I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater, and I got to share with some friends before we came down here about what did we want for the retreat, and I said it out loud for the first time. My first retreat here was in 1996. And I was asked the same question, and I said, I want to stop being so angry. And it's 2014, and I'm sad that I've gotten to be so angry again.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be.
Yeah.
So I'm here to try and find that path and connection.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Barbara. Anybody else want to share? It's painless. Only a couple of sentences, and you can sit down.
Hi, Marilyn. I'm compulsive
Bud Reader.
Hi,
Marilyn. The Folsom meeting. I would like to not be obsessed with food. Wouldn't we all? I've been in the program for 2 years, and I really feel like I've made a lot of progress with the binge eating and living life. But I think I'm slipping back a little bit, and I'm still living life, but boy, that food obsession, it's just a part of my life. So anyway, that's why I'm here.
Thank you. Hey, Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a cultural reader from Sacramento.
Hi, Christina.
What I hope to get from this retreat is a connection with my higher power again, reconnecting with it, because it's been a while since I've felt really connected and regaining my faith. Letting go of relationships that are unhealthy for me, even though I choose to ignore that. Letting go of fear and control. And then regaining the gratitude and serenity that I know this program brings to me. So, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Christina. Somebody else?
I forgot one more thing.
Okay.
I forgot one more thing is I want to learn to access my higher power relating to food.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Who else?
Yeah, good. Oh, you can stay seated.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gail, and I'm a compulsive eater from Placerville.
Hi.
Hi, and I had just made a decision to go to the next step in my abstinence, and so I'm choosing this weekend to do my send-off. It's something that I had done a long time ago really, really well, and then I traveled in Europe and took something back that really hasn't been very good for me. You know, I've been off sugar for a million years, but yeah. There's another substance that keeps talking to me, and so, and it's a hard one to give up. So, and just to enjoy the gorgeousness of the place and the gorgeousness of all of you. So, it'll be fun.
Thank you. Yep, Carmen? We'll pass this down.
Hi, my name is Carmen, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carmen.
And for the first time in many years coming here, I didn't come here with an agenda. I often come with an agenda. It doesn't turn out that way, but when I thought about it, what I wrote down was a greater sense of acceptance, a greater sense of serenity, to be open to all the possibilities this weekend has to be.
Yeah. Thanks, Carmen. Who else? John.
I have some hopes here. I was lucky enough to be asked to be, you know, give a pitch for the Monday meeting at what's the name of the church?
Friends Church.
And I did something I haven't done for decades, which is I started to cry during, embarrassed anyway, enough. And I've been very puzzled ever since, like what was going on. And in short form, I guess, is I want to find out more about what is going on. But I already know some. I even wrote down a couple of words. I was trained to be upbeat by a very good mother, and lowbeat was not okay. And so I have a few defenses against lowbeat, not a few, a lot. And the words are what I really am, is extremely angry, disappointed in myself, have intense regrets, and wouldn't hurt anything at all if I got that a little more balanced. But just let me tell you about the regret. Just the one thing is, I am also elated. And the reason I'm utterly elated is because that shit has been there all the time, and who wants to carry around that shit? Too much.
Yeah. Yay, Jeff. Woo! Who indeed? Yep.
My name's Carol, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Carol.
And there's two things. One is that I'm here because I was at my third meeting this time around, and Gail walked in and said, there's a retreat, and I need a roommate, and you're it. Who the hell are you? And the other reason is that I really want to stop taking my life out of myself.
Mm-hmm. Understand that one, yeah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Klaus Wolf, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Klaus.
And I think I do not have yet continuous abstinence. Once a month, the ego kicks in, switch goes off, and I fall over. So my wish was, oh, no, I already know by being here, my ego will never come out, show its claws, and I would, you know, lose my abstinence. So, just being here, I'm adding more good times.
Thanks. Thank you, Klaus. Yay. Okay, we'll get there.
Good evening, family. I'm Marty, a compulsive overeater from the Bay Area.
Hi,
Marty.
What I'd like to get out of this weekend is to connect with honesty with where I'm at with my weight and my food intake and food plan, and to just get honest with that, and yeah.
Yeah. Understand that one. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm from Carson City, Nevada.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Previously, Long Beach, California. You know, letting go of your topic is what I really need to work on because, you know, I had a sponsee many years ago that said, I kind of think the only thing I'm going to let God control is the weather because I really don't have any control over that. I mean, we all knock our ass off. I just want everything to be exactly the way I want it to be, and that's not God's plan. So I'm hoping to get much more acceptance and peace around that.
Hi, I'll stand. Hi, my name is Laurie, and I'm a sober eater.
Hi, Laurie.
And I'm currently living in Long Beach, California. And I'm in a period of transition, which is why they're currently living in Long Beach, California. And I don't really know where the next destination's going to be, but I feel like there's a new destination for me. And I'm looking forward to having this time of stepping out and hopefully getting some guidance on what that should be or if I should stay in Long Beach. Connecting more with my higher power and letting him guide me to where I need to be going and for focusing my energies and hopefully committing to a weight loss abstinence. I've lost a bunch of weight, but I've maintained that for about 5 years now, and I'm wanting to get some more weight off. And so, you know, coming around where my food is taken care of makes it a lot easier. So,
yeah.
I'm Angie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Angie.
I'm from Long Beach, California also. I've been in program since 1978. And the thing that I want the most in my life today is peace. As much as I can get. And I'd like to have more peace around my weight. I'm like about 12 pounds from where I would like to be and have wanted to be for a really long time. And just the peace around the weight and the food, even though things are so much better than they were before. And then just a couple, my life is great, I love my life, but there's a couple of resentments that haven't gone away. And that's kind of focusing my program right now.
Thank you. Somebody else? Let's just pass that down.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Postal Reed.
Hi, Bonnie.
So, as I was driving up, I've been coming to the retreat for, well, since we had used to have it in Sacramento. And as I was driving up with Judy, I was saying, we could be like that movie, same time, you know, next year. The reason I said that is because we've been in so many different places in our program. And like last year, Judy had Judy B. There's just so many Judys. They're all lined up right here. She asked me to take over because she had to go take care of her dad. And I remember last year when I came to the retreat, for whatever reason, you know, I didn't want to get up in front and, you know, do the introductions. And this year I was looking forward to doing that. And you know, that's the beauty and that's what I love. I come to the retreat to see the people that I don't get to see, sometimes just once a year. But it's neat seeing where we are in our program. You know, I've been through here through thick and sometimes sort of thin, over here, so all different places in my program. But you know, I get the, it's that it is, it's like family, it's that connection, no matter where we are in our program, you know, and that's part of what I come for is, you know, the love of it. That I feel in this room, I can stand up there this year. For some reason, I make corny jokes, whatever. Anyway, I'm glad everybody's here.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? Y'all good. Sure.
I am Camille, recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Camille.
I just want to practice listening to my innermost self without editing.
Gotcha.
My name is Valerie, and I guess as of this moment, I'm an official compulsive overeater. My friend got me to sign up for this conference retreat months ago, and I kind of ignored the fact that I was going for months, and then something changed in the last couple of weeks, and I just prayed. I came with no expectations and just an open mind and asked God to show me, you know, what I need to learn here. I'm really grateful to be here.
Yay!
Hi, I'm Scarlett. I'm a compulsive overeater from South Carolina.
Hi, Scarlett.
Hello, everybody. Hello, friends. And new friends to be met still. So, what I would like out of this weekend is to totally surrender to my higher power so that I feel being carried, like the footstep poem talks about. I'd like to feel that total sense of being cared for.
Hi, I'm Crystal, currently from Diamond Springs, California.
Hi.
I want to just soak in this beauty, and I recognize beloved faces, and I know that there's other people that will become beloved faces. And I want to learn to speak my truth, which means first I have to acknowledge what that truth is. I think in denial about that sometimes. And also, I think, to deal with the real fear that I associate with the vulnerability that might happen if I lose weight.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm from Marin County.
Hi, Mary.
And I'm here for fellowship for the Lake Tahoe, which is just so awesome. But on a deeper level, I think where I want to look at in my program is fear, and that I often, in my recovery right now, I have a lot of joy and I can see a lot more beauty. Mm-hmm. But very quickly that I notice that fear can slip in that I'm not going to have it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I want to keep developing my faith that I don't have to go there. That's not an important place to go, that God has taken care of me so far, and somehow work more with the fear and the faith.
Thank you. Somebody else? Okay. I'm so glad people are sharing.
I'm Andrea. I'm a compulsive overeater from San Francisco.
Hi.
I'm here for the laughter. I'm here for the love. And I'm here because God's trying to get my attention.
And I don't think the illicit with the stillness.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in front of a TV, I'm eating things compulsively, even if they're abstinent. I am just, I have moments when I'm present, but I think that there's something really special going on in my life. And it's a wonderful life, and I want to see what the next one phase is. And nature and love and being closer to God. So this is a good place to do it.
Thank you. Oh, my. Here we go. I should have just passed it up and down the aisle. Well.
I'm Rhonda. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm here because my sponsor said, you're going. Oh, really? And then she gets in a car accident, and she's not here. And she's okay. But she's not here. And this is my first time to Tahoe. It's my first time to just be away from my family. And, well, it's probably been 6 months, my last OA convention. But you know what? God's teaching me a lot in these months. And but one of the things is fear. Wow. I wasn't recognizing fear. I like to play the victim. I do like to play the victim, and I'm seeing that a lot too. And I think I want to work on those things.
Thank you.
Scary.
I'll hand it over. Hi, my name is Lori. I'm from Sacramento.
Hi, Lori.
I think the big thing for me this weekend is that I need to be able to slow myself down because I've been going through this rat race of preparations for different things in my life, and I haven't been slowing down enough to be able to hear God speak.
Hard to do sometimes. Here, somebody said. Oh! Can't see even with my glasses.
I am Cynthia from Marin.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. And I think I'm here kicking off my vacation. I thought this would be a good way to do it. And I'm here to do exactly what this exercise was because I think a lot of, my program changes and I change, and sometimes the things that I can accept or only have to accept later, there are things that I can change. Sometimes I like to just ignore that and work on things that are more convenient. So this vacation is about sort of looking at the things that maybe need to be looked at again.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm Christian, a compulsive reader from Sacramento.
Hi, Christian.
And I'm here to be here. I've spent so many years isolating and really working to make myself apart from, and the last 4 years in abstinence, I have grown to love so many people in so many rooms, and I sit in a room and I go, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and the same time next year, so yes, there's, I love you, and I love you, and who else have I not seen in a year? And it feels so good to be able to do that, to let myself be present for that. And there's the phrase, let us love you until you can love yourself. And there's let me love you until I can love myself.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else? Anybody else? Oh, okay. Two.
Hi, my name is Caesar. Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Caesar.
I had a dream about 4 months ago that I'd be around a lot of beautiful women.
Ah!
I'm having problems with the fourth step because it involves my parents. They're gone now, and I'm finding a lot of things about them that I used to hate. But because of their upbringing from a foreign country, they try to give me a lot of these thoughts and ideas on how to be brought up, and of course their way of bringing up is completely different from this country, so I've had to accept that. But I'm here to try to get that fourth step over, to try to get those resentments, putting everything down, resentments down, And the other thing, is, which is the most important thing, is I went to the AA meeting in Fort Bragg about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And over there, I heard a lot of the people speak, and they have the same addictions that I do, except the foods or whatever that they do are different. But one of the most important things I saw was that they were eating pastries and coffee. And I feel that we should have... I think we should have cocktails here. And I told them that. And I told them that. But coming down to the nitty-gritty, they go through the same problems that we go through. And their addictions are my addictions. The food or whatever is different. But I'm really dreading going through the fourth step because it's a lot of shortcomings. And you know, I hold my parents high because they went through a lot during the war. And now I have to, as I hear and I talk to the rest of the family, they were good people. It's just that, you know, my thoughts and their thoughts are completely different.
Thank you.
So that's one thing I'm struggling with right now. And I am angry. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Sure. Thank you. Judy.
Hi, I'm another Judy. When I was 10 years old, I moved across the lake, and everybody in that little town knew each other and had gone to kindergarten, and I'll never forget walking in that school being 10 years old and fat. And just feeling so different, you know. And one of the things I've learned is to bring that little girl into recovery. And this nurtures my soul, and so do you. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thanks,
Judy. Okay.
Two more.
Hello, I'm Rick, a compulsive eater living in recovery.
Yay!
And what that means to me is I'm here for miracles, and I'm looking out at the miracles. Look at the sunset. And that is so beautiful. And I've lost track of time and space, so this is my seventh or eighth retreat up here. And I love the retreats up here. There's so many friends that I get to see once a year. And it's heaven. It's heaven. And I promised my little inner child, my little 8-year-old Ricky, I bring him up here every year and I let him go play at the beach. And I let him just be a child. And I love being a child because he's kind of scared a lot of the time. And so I'm here to nurture my little Ricky. And if your little 8-year-old wants to come and play with me, we'll be at the beach.
Thanks, Rick. Okay, last one.
Thank you. I'm Liz from Jackson, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm here because I love being with the people that I belong with, and I'm here because this is a safe place for me to come. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who shared. I'm so glad so many people had a chance to say something. And it kind of draws us all closer when we can hear from each other, I think. So how about if we take a little break for 10 minutes, if you will. We will close at 9, so if you would keep it to 10 minutes and come back at 25 after, then I'll tell you my story.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask if you could stay, if you don't want to use the podium, would you at least stand back? Because if you're too close, the front row has to do, you're too close to the front row.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'll see what I can do about that. Hi.
What are we going to do the last part of this evening?
I'm going to give the long version of my story, and then we're going to close at 9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh. Here, now you can talk to people and nobody else
can
hear.
Oh, thank you. Is that okay for you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
we
stop at 9.
So I don't know if I'm gonna go back to my room.
We stop at 9. And then some people do foot massage.
Oh.
Which kind of is a good thing to wait for.
Yeah.
But whatever you know, whatever feels right for you. Yeah. Yeah.
I get headaches.
I'm not going to be able to sit wherever I want.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, that's when we go to the World Service Business,
who do I talk to about the room I'm inside?
Oh, gee. I don't know who precisely, but you can talk to Judy, you can talk to Bonnie, who introduced me. Right here.
Absolutely. Oh, we're going to take good care of you.
Yeah.
Right upstairs.
And there might be somebody else to talk to.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do it.
Oh. Hello.
I wonder you were talking about letting go.
It was like,
I didn't even connect the dots.
I'm thinking, oh, if you only knew how nervous I was. But you have a very soothing voice. And it was great to just sit there and listen to your voice. I was going, oh, thank you, God. This is great. That was
probably
really...
could have let the cat out of the bag. It wouldn't have gone any further.
I know. I just felt funny. I didn't want to say, I'm leaving it. You know, I just felt funny.
You're like, oh, I've gotten one over here and over there.
Well, when you ask me what I hope for from the retreat... you'll find out.
I still didn't even connect the dots.
I will tell you what that is, what I hope for.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that absolutely gorgeous?
Yeah. And this cool air feels so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to sit down.
Yeah, I bet.
it's microphone.
Really. So I'm going to do this for 3 days. I'm so glad everybody shared.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you go, well, nobody's going to share, you know.
Right.
So it made me happy that people really talked.
Yeah. All right. I'm drawn to the outside.
Okay. Hello, Michelle. I'm tired. I need to sit down, but otherwise I'm good.
Now that you've started, how's your nerves going?
Oh, much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, much better. It's the initial, you know,
right.
And then I'll probably be that way for everything that I start. You know, I mean, it never gets blasé, kind of, you know. How's your life going? You look good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I never see you. Do you go to the Saturday morning meeting? I never go there. Yeah. I used to go
there. Monday and Friday nights.
Oh, really?
At 5:30.
Oh, in Sacramento? See, I can't do that because I'm in Elk Grove and I don't work, so I don't want to drive with the traffic. You know, so I have Elk Grove meetings, which I'm not crazy about, actually. I like the ones with so much recovery. But we have a Friday morning Elk Grove one that's pretty good. So that's where I do my home stuff. Yeah. Were you working on the retreat, too?
I was doing a sit-in.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the meeting so I could learn, because next year I'm going to be the registration.
Oh, fantastic.
So that way I...
Good for you.
I learned the process of the registration.
Good for you. That's...
I was there.
Yeah. Well, you've all been working a long time. Everybody's been working on this forever.
Yeah, we were meeting and just trying to make sure everything was together.
Yeah, well, it shows.
You know, like not doing coffee tonight. There's all those decisions and the pricing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a lot of decisions. Yeah. A lot of little details. Oh, I am tired. Wow. It must be the... Yeah. Yeah, we do, really, but by the time everybody gets here...
When you're telling your story.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for telling me, babe. Me too. Can we turn the volume way up?
Yes.
Because people are asking me to talk.
Yes, and in fact, I...
Uh-huh. Okay. Testing. Still testing.
Okay, fine. We also need to check an announcement about motions of the flu. A couple people are having trouble breathing. We need to be a little bit. So in the morning, if people may not have a
you want to do that before I start?
Yeah. And then when you start, I'm going to go over and I'll adjust.
Okay.
But it might go...
That's all right.
This happened to me on that day. I happened to not be going to the hotel room that day. And it was a God moment for sure.
Yeah. What? Wait. We need more. Wait.
A couple more.
Welcome back, everybody.
Is Judy gonna announce about the
yeah.
program?
Yeah. She is.
Ready? I forgot to turn off your microphone. That doesn't matter.
Accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you. One announcement, you already heard from the lady at dinner about drinking water, so make sure of that. We have people that are sensitive to lotions and perfumes and are having trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is very common. So we would just ask you tomorrow not to wear your perfumes or scented lotions. That's all. Okay. We'll love you just the way you are.
I have one other announcement. Hi, Barnes & Noble reader. Hi, Barnes & Noble. New focus piece of literature. It's the four-step inventory guide. It costs $6. And doing it here at Tahoe.
Can we leave the doors open? Can you, like, ask for good conscience if we can leave the doors open to get fresh air in here?
Well,
no, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm asking if we can all decide together.
She wants
you
on the microphone.
Yeah, that's all.
Thank you. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back. We need a group conscience on whether to open these doors more or leave them the way they are. How many people would like the doors opened more? Okie dokie. Looks like a group conscience to me. How many people want one open and one closed? Okay.
I wonder if you could use a microphone, because I'm having trouble. Well, other people are having
she
trouble.
She just turned it up.
Oh, okay. All right.
She still wants it. Okay.
Yeah, you can use the handheld mic instead.
I'll use both. Awesome. Okay. Okay. Hello? Hello, hello. Okay. I've had a request to speak loudly-er. Loudly-er. Good thing I'm talking, huh? I'm going to pass around my pictures that show me way back in 1980 when I weighed a lot. And the outfit that I have on in there, I just thought I looked beautiful. And actually, I probably was beautiful. It doesn't depend on your weight. But I was very, very, very overweight. So, the long form of my story is when I was about 38 years old, I heard that life begins at 40. And so far, it wasn't too good. I had been on every diet known to man, and a few that weren't. I made up my own. When I was 7, I can remember climbing up on the white tile counter of my mother's kitchen counter. I don't know where she was, but she was nowhere around. And going, I went into the cabinet because I was going to make a chocolate cake. And I brought all the ingredients I could find, and I dumped things in a bowl. I don't know where my mother was. Boy, she wasn't around. And so I tried to make this thing in a bowl. And it didn't taste very good. So I decided, well, maybe I better quick get rid of this stuff. Well, if you've ever been on a white counter when you're 6 years old with chocolate. But I thought I had hidden the evidence. I'm 6 years old. And my mother, I do remember my mother coming into the kitchen. And she said, "What have you been doing?" Well, like any good compulsive overeater, what do you think I said? Nothing. I wasn't doing anything. She said, "Well, did you have chocolate?" No. Not me. So that was kind of the beginning. I do remember wearing a size chubette. Well, good, we got some more people. When I was 9. And I didn't know why I didn't look like everybody else, but I didn't care that much about it at the time until I was about 12. And I was put on a diet, and it was Rye Krisp, cottage cheese, and canned pineapple. 3 meals a day, 3 days in a row. And that was where I learned the wonderful skill that every overeater needs to have of how to step on a scale without making it move a lot. I was 12. So I probably lost weight, I don't remember. But like the story of my life, it didn't stay gone. You know, I gained it back in. So I went through high school. I was probably about 20, 25 pounds overweight. which, you know, later I looked back on it and thought, why did I feel so horrible? Oh, it was only 20, 25 pounds. But it curtailed my life. I wanted to be the captain of the drill team. What else would I want to be? And I tried out for it. And you know what? I had 3/4 of the people I knew, and I knew everybody, that voted for me. Did I make captain of the drill team? No. Somebody who was thin made captain of the drill team. So that was my first inkling that maybe there was some kind of prejudice against fat people. And then I developed a chip that I kept on my shoulder for many, 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 many years. Tried one thing, tried another, went to, I got to study in France when I was in college. And in order to get to the bus that took me out to the university, I had to run down a hill. I lost 75 pounds that year. I mean, people didn't know me when I came back my final year. They didn't know who I was. And I had a French boyfriend. Oh, I had a wonderful time. I really did have a wonderful time. That's tomorrow night. We'll talk about that. It was a whole new world for me. I had attention. I had, you know, and I felt good about myself. That I kind of made this transition that to feel good about myself meant to be a normal weight. And that's a terrible transition to make, because then I start fighting with myself the rest of my life. So, I mean, you know. So I did, what was that? A pay and weight program that when you lost 10 pounds, they gave you a chip for a pin. I don't know if anybody knows that program. I lost 100 pounds on that one. I was full of diamond chips on my pin. And I'll tell you what I did. After I had lost 100 pounds, I took everything I had not eaten for a year. It took me a year. And I bought it all at the grocery store in one fell swoop. I took it to the park. I can still remember. I sat on the blanket, and I thought, I'm going to eat all of this, and it's going to make me so sick, I will never have to eat it again. Pretty soon, I was eating a cold thing that was on maintenance in this pay and weigh program. And, you know, the mind of a compulsive overeater can't be trusted. I purposely didn't buy a big container of this stuff because I would eat it all I knew. So I went to 7-Eleven and bought a little container that I could have every, I think, 3 times a week or something on maintenance. How long do you think it took me to graduate to a pint of this stuff? And then how long did it take for me to graduate to a quart? And then before you knew it, well, first of all, my poor daughter went to work at Baskin-Robbins. Anyway, I've given away what the substance was. I'm sorry. Something was wrong somewhere. And I don't know what you do, but I finally gave up. I thought, well, it's going to be fine to be fat. Now, I had a medical condition, and I needed surgery. I was very young to have this condition, and it probably had to do with my yo-yo dieting, actually. But I needed surgery, and, you know, all surgeons aren't really good at bedside manner. So I went in to this surgeon that my doctor told me to go to. And the surgeon said, and I'm not kidding you, these were his words. Wonder how I remember. You are so fat, you will die on the table
if I operate on you. I want you to go lose 25 pence. What do you think I did? I did. I gained 25 pounds. I had a therapist once say to me, your middle name is Defiance. And somebody earlier today at a meeting I was in said, somebody said to her she was passive aggressive, but she couldn't think of the word when she was sharing in the meeting. She said, somebody told me I was, what is that word? I forget. Well, I kept forgetting that I was defiant because I didn't want to be characterized that way. So, okay. So then I kept bouncing back and forth, 100 pounds, 100 pounds. And I got married, expecting to live happily ever after, and didn't. And I thought, I have my man so I can eat. So I ate some more. And then they almost did lose me when I gave birth to my daughter. And the doctor said, you know, you almost left us on the table. And for some reason I heard that, so I lost weight again. And then I'm talking, it's hard to get my, when I start telling you my story, I want to tell you everything. But I have to save stuff for tomorrow and different sessions tomorrow. But I did lose weight, and it didn't work out so well with my husband because he was very jealous all of a sudden. So I figured it was safer to gain the weight back. I mean, blame him. That's not really, I just wanted to eat, you know. So I did. Anyway, here we come to, I'm 38. I'm divorced. Yay! I'm a single mother working with a really acting out daughter in the extreme. And I'm thinking, well, life is supposed to begin at 40. What the heck happened here? So a series of really tragic events happened in my larger family. And I really had emotional pressure that was extreme. And I had heard about OA and I had gone to a meeting. It was in a bank on Sunnyvale, Saratoga Road in Sunnyvale. And I sat there in that meeting and everybody was crazy. People were saying things that just, I thought, oh my goodness, these poor people. I didn't have anything in common with them. So I didn't go back. So switch again to 38. So I'm having all his pressure. And I ended up seeking therapy. And I was so lucky. Because the therapist took a long history. And by now, you know, I'm over 200 pounds. And after she took my history, at the end of it, she said, well, you haven't mentioned this when we talked about your family, but is there anybody in your family who is an alcoholic? Only my stepfather. You know, I forgot to mention that part. So anyway, she ended up saying, I think, you know, I can work with you and I can help you, but I think it'll go faster if you go to a 12-step program. And I said, what program? Well, she said, there are quite a few. And there's Al-Anon, and there's, you know, oh, there is Compulsive Overeater, you know, Overeaters Anonymous. I went, oh, okay. So I did call OA. I got this wonderful woman, and she lived way the heck and gone, 20 cities away. And she said, I will meet you at this Tuesday night meeting. So it's 7:30. I said, oh, okay, fine. If you're going to meet me, I'll go. Well, then the time came for the meeting. The day came for the meeting. I lost her phone number somehow conveniently, and I decided I wasn't going. But then I thought, well, she's coming all that way. I've got to go. So I went. And I heard, "Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous. Welcome home." And I heard people tell my story that night. They just told my story. If I'd known I was going to cry when I put on mascara. And it was really something to me, really something. So I had to do a lot of things. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow in the morning, but I was, the word God was a three-letter word for me. So I had real problems with that. I did pick a sponsor after about 6 months, and she was a Nazi sponsor, because God bless her, thank God, she was from AA. And then she hauled out that big book, and we read every line, you know. Thank God for her. And so I got it. I finally got it. And I was abstinent. I, no matter what I've done since, I haven't eaten sugar for 33 years. I've done everything else. But that's not abstinence, you know. But it's not sugar. So, yeah. And I did lots of stuff in OA in the beginning. I was really active in all kinds of things and did lots and lots of service, and I just really felt like part of the group. And then, as happens when one is abstinent, my life just took off in a good way. It was the most productive period of my life, those 17 years. And I ended up with a job that was the job of my dreams, that I got really a lot because it so happened I knew people in OA who were in, I got a job with the World Health Organization. I knew people through OA who were in OA who were physicians. And I got them to give me references, because they'd heard me speak and it was a training job and all that stuff. So I got that job and I moved to Switzerland, to Geneva. And guess what? I was away from my meetings. We didn't have online meetings then. It was 98, 99. You know, things started to fall through the cracks. I could have started a meeting. Did I do that? I didn't have any online people. I wasn't in touch with a sponsor. I wasn't doing what it says to do, right? Plus, I had a tendency to not want to do the 10th step every day, which is a big mistake. I also kind of wanted to do 1 and 12. The OA shuffle, you do 1 and then you go to 12. Doesn't work. I mean, I had done all the steps, but I wasn't paying attention to them anymore. And who the heck knows why you lose your abstinence? You know, there's no... the big book says, self-knowledge avails us nothing. Understanding all the things we do doesn't do a thing for us. I did lots of therapy, understood all kinds of stuff, studied psychology. You know, it didn't do anything for me. So, I better hurry up here. I'll be here all night. It's hard to tell you exactly when I lost my abstinence. Because when one does, and I'm going to talk about this during relapse, it happens so slowly. It's just insidious. It's just insidious. And I have discovered, just like a real alcoholic, I'm a real compulsive overeater. I have no defense against the first compulsive bite. I go into oblivion when I start eating compulsively.
And that's what I did. And I stayed there for 10 years. I would come back to meetings, and I mean, I never stopped going to meetings entirely. But I was moving around, so people didn't know me, so I could start a new story, you know. I'm going to be absent today. And I would make a resolution and never a decision. So I was always making resolutions. And I stayed that way for 10 years. And then in Sacramento, I started going to meetings again. People were very kind, asked me to join groups of stuff. Oh, I didn't want to join anybody for coffee. No, thank you. I'm kind of a person who isolates. And gradually I kept going back, kept going back, kept going back. And finally, with fear and trembling, after I was really down for the count, I mean, they, you know, people say, well, you know, if you don't want to have a food plan, you don't want to have a sponsor, you don't want to work the steps, that's okay. Go out and try a little more controlled eating. And I sure did that a lot of times. And also people will say, well, when you get in enough pain, you'll do it. I really hate it when people say that. And I finally got in enough pain where I wanted to be abstinent one half of 1% more than I wanted to eat. I mean, it wasn't a big thing, you know. So I'm going to talk about this tomorrow too more, but I latched on to a higher power in a new way than I had done previously. And the big book says we can know all these things, but the only thing that's going to change us is a spiritual experience. And for me, that happened gradually. I know people who've had, you know, lightning strikes. For me, it was one day at a time. And just recently, when I was returning to abstinence, I had an extraordinary psychic, spiritual experience when I did a four-step. Just blew my mind. I'll never look at some things the same again. So that spiritual experience is always out there. And it's what's made the difference. And I was reading I've been reading the big book a lot. I wonder why, because I have a sponsor who has me read the big book every week. We read a chapter and I talk about it. And I came across in There Is a Solution, the description of the alcoholic behavior when they're drinking. And I'll tell you what, I've always read that in the big book and thought, oh, that's my stepfather. That's my alcoholic stepfather. That's not me. But I started to think about it, and I started to think about how my personality changes entirely when I am overeating. I never really realized that before. I am a different person when I am indulging myself in overeating. And when I say overeating, I mean not eating what's on a healthy food plan that I've agreed to with my sponsor. What I do is I get dangerously antisocial, which is one of the hallmarks of an alcoholic who does that. But I do that. I mean, I just want to sit in my room and not talk to anybody. Just eat. I don't want anybody to see me eating. I am overly sensitive. Oh, there are those who would say I'm overly sensitive anyway. But it's even worse when I'm overeating. I mean, you can't say two words to me before I break out in tears or get furious. I hide a lot of anger, so I do a lot of passive-aggressive stuff when I'm overeating. I was not available to my child when she was growing up and I was overeating. I didn't have the emotional wherewithal to be with her. My thinking is unclear. when I'm overeating. I really can't make choices very well because I can't see. And we're going to talk some more about this tomorrow, but it's pretty horrible. And the fact that I can do nothing about it on my own is really, really clear. Just give you a small story. When I was first in OA and I hadn't found abstinence yet, I decided I wanted to go have this thing that I hadn't had for a couple of months and I could go buy it. So I went on my way, I'm driving to go by to the store to buy this thing, and I hear in the back of my mind, oh, you don't need to do this. And I went, oh, yes, I do. So I went and I bought it, and I'm walking out the door. I took one bite of it, and it didn't taste very good. So what do? I throw it in the trash. Good, I throw it in the trash, that's right. Maybe I can get it somewhere else. So I went somewhere else and I got it somewhere else. And I tasted that and I didn't like that either. So I threw it away, so I'm patting myself on the back. Then I get another thought. Why don't I go to the grocery store and buy all the ingredients to make that thing? This is how my disease works. It's the best used car salesman in the world. So I went to the grocery store, I bought all the stuff, and you have to understand, the grocery store was only 2 blocks from my house. I'm not kidding, that's really true. So went to the grocery store, bought all the ingredients, thinking to myself, well, see there, if there's a God, where is God? What, yeah. And I get in my car with the ingredients. The car would not start. The battery was dead. This is the absolute truth. And I went, oh, defiance. I am going to walk home and I'm going to make this thing. Is anybody else like me? So I go home and I'm saying to myself, see there, okay, God, I'm not going to make it if somebody calls me. Just watch, that phone's not going to ring. Nobody cares about me, that phone's not going to ring. And if it does, then I'm not going to eat it. See there, God. I mixed it all up. I put it in the oven. I'm going, see there? Nobody cares. Phone rings. Hello, Mimi. Oh, Julie from OA. What are you doing? I am making XYZ and I am going to eat it. And she said, well, go right ahead. I didn't want her to say that. She was supposed to argue with me. But then she added, go right ahead. If that's going to solve your problems, go right ahead. I don't care, I'm going to eat it anyway. So what do you think I did? I took it out of the oven. I could hardly wait for it to get cool. And I sat there at the table, and I got what I was going to have. I ate it, and I cried and cried and cried. I had no defense against that. The thing, though, is I need to stop staying in that part. There is a solution. And it's been useful, it's been used, it's worked for so many people. And the solution was simply to do what I was told, which was to get a sponsor, to work the steps, to go to meetings. And that was it. It seemed much too simple, because I always want to make things hard. My sponsor asked me, which is what I asked my sponsees, are you willing to go to any length? And then I was willing to go to any length. And I wanted to, as Big Book said, I wanted to grab hold of that life preserver with all the desperation of a drowning woman. Because that was exactly how I felt. I really think healing does come by following the suggestions we're given. And since my middle name is Defiance, that's really hard to do, right? So what's my life now like now? I don't have to shop in the plus sizes. But the funny thing is, when I first did not have to shop in the plus sizes, I went in the normal women's store, and I was really waiting for a sales clerk to come up to me and say, oh, don't you think you need to go upstairs to the plus size? I mean, talk about body image. That's what I expected. I can now walk without chafing. Some people might know what that means. I am more present to people more of the time than not. I'm not 100%. And then a really strange thing happened after I'd been asthma for the first time for about 3 months. I was talking with a group of people, and we were talking about something, and I heard this strange sound that I hadn't heard, and it sounded kind of rusty, and it was my laughter. I hadn't laughed in a very long time. So that's a gift of the program. What I do is I work the steps with my sponsor. This is a WE program, so I'm not alone. And it sure is good to know that. I spend half an hour every day in quiet meditation. I read some stuff during that, but I am quiet with my higher power. I do service. Be careful what you do service for. My experience is that any service I do as it can really point out the holes in my program. And I recently did some really heavy service that pointed out lots of holes to me. So it's a really good chance to work your program. As far as food goes, it's the weirdest thing. It's a paradox. That when I actually give up the extra food, I receive more than I ever dreamed. It's just a paradox. I wake up in the morning and I have integrity. And I thought about that for a long time. Why does that word seem so accurate to me? And I realized it's because it comes from integrated. And when I'm trying to eat over here and not trying to eat there, and I'm not integrated. So when I wake up in the morning now, I have integrity. I'm no longer in oblivion. The big book talks about entering into oblivion when we start to practice our addiction. And I always thought those words were too strong for we little compulsive overeaters. But no, I go into oblivion when I'm compulsively overeating. Am I happy, joyous, and free? I don't think there are any princess stories. I keep trying. I'm doing online dating, but... And I'm trudging the road of happy destiny, or whatever the heck it is, one day at a time. I am called upon to deal with life on life's terms. And sometimes I do better at that than others. But I have a chance to do that now. Whereas when I was overeating, I didn't have that chance. So I am really grateful for my recovery one day at a time. I do not take it for granted. I have a real healthy fear of going backwards. And I think it's important to have that. So we're going to be closing. I would like to read I wasn't going to say this, but this is a prayer that I wrote. Because when I was at a yoga class, a woman, I sometimes mention I've lost 100 pounds. I used to do it all the time, because I loved hearing all this wonderful stuff. And there's nothing wrong with hearing the wonderful stuff. Now I just do it sometimes. And then if somebody wants to know more, then I can tell them about OA. So this woman at yoga said, you lost 100 pounds? I said, yes. She said, how did you do it? And I said what I always say, which is, I pray. And then I waited. Most people wander off on that one. But this woman said, what do you pray? And I thought, wow, I pray lots of different things at lots of different times. And then I thought, why don't I said, I will put together for you a prayer that encompasses most of the things I have prayed at one time or the other. So I'm going to read this prayer for you, and that's how we'll close tonight. And I'll stop talking and just read. Creator of the universe, Lord, love, whatever you are. Here are some things I know. I know I am beautiful in your sight. I know that you love me as if I were the only person in the world. I know that I do not need to lose weight to be given your love. And I know that I do not need to lose weight to be proud of myself or to make someone else proud of me or to gain anyone's love. I also know that you have given me a body that is a temple to be taken care of. Forgive me for not taking care of it. Forgive me for damaging myself and for eating in a way that has made me so unhealthy in so many ways. Forgive me for moving farther away from you by seeking to heal myself with food instead of with you. So those are some things I do know. What I do not know is how to control my eating. What I do not have is the strength to eat in a healthy way. No matter how many times I lose weight and no matter how many diets I go on, just when I think I have it all solved, I overeat again, even though I don't want to. I'm tired, Lord. I'm beat. God, I give up. I can't do this by myself. Help me. So, God, I humbly make a decision today to turn this all over to you. Grant me the strength this day to eat in a healthy way so that I can move toward a weight that's simply healthy for my body, just for today. Just for today, with your help, I can do what I could never do alone and what I could never do if I thought I had to spend my whole life doing it. I will go to any length to abide by your will. When I hear your voice urging me to make a healthy choice, I will rely on your strength to do it, and I commit to doing that just for today. Just for today, when I am hurting, I seek to find my comfort in you, not in food. Just for today, when I am lonely, I seek to know you as my friend, not food. Just for today, when I am worried, I ask you to give me the serenity to accept what I cannot change and the courage to change what I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Just for today, when I feel wounded, I seek healing in you, not in food. Just for today, when I want more food, more happiness, more love, more attention, more peace, more things, I ask you to be my more. Just for today, when I feel guilty, I confess to you what is weighing on me, repent, and I accept your forgiveness with open heart. Just for today, I will list for you all the things I am grateful for at this moment. This group of you, this beautiful retreat center, the fact that I'm abstinent today, one day at a time. The fact that I feel love. Just for today, I will seek to be a blessing to someone else as you will. May I fulfill your purpose for me this day. I affirm that you keep your promises, God. You continue to carry me all the days of my life. I trust that you will indeed help me this day. Amen. So, shall we all... Does everybody know Roseanne's prayer? Shall we stand up and get in a circle and say Roseanne's prayer?
Copies of that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I tried to write it down, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Come on in. I'll be your stable.
Thanks to everybody for being so great and listening to me. And there are copies of that prayer if you want it up here. Okay. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for a power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works.
Yes, it does.
I love
this.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm getting
it's just program stuff.
I'm going to unplug you.
Oh, good.
And really, I think you're better off with a
hand. I think so.
It's a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me really talk into it.
And then Rick will undress the other part.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't God do a good job?
Oh, God is wonderful.
God,
I didn't say what I thought I was going to say.
Well, you said what needed to be said.
I really
was just
did not.
Thank you for printing these on such nice paper.
Oh, you're welcome.
Tactile means a lot.
You're not taking them all.
No, I was holding them to pass them here.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got my little microphone?
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Hi. I have an electronics question for you when you're done.
Okay.
And I
Hello. Before everybody leaves, one quick announcement. We are going to have a 30-minute 12-step meeting in this room if anybody that wants to. And it will be starting in about 5 minutes. So if anybody wants to come back for a quick 12-step meeting, you are more than welcome.
I was asked if we... Go ahead. This is going to be a moment.